So, Father, I just give you the work of my hands, and I just pray your grace and your mercy over this and your blessing, Lord, and that you would prepare us now to hear from you through your word and through this message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I've named this sermon, which is the last day of May 2020, Your Heart's Desire. Your Heart's Desire. There have been many unexpected results from this period of lockdown and uncertainty. Many people have been faced with a reduced income and therefore a narrowing spectrum of what they can spend that reduced amount of money on. This enforced some people to really concentrate and think about what they consider as essential, as opposed to what can be done without. They had to think about things like rent, paying their rent, buying food, and how to pay their energy bills. They kind of come as important, very important things, and if you start running out of money for them, then life becomes difficult. Clearly, those who would typically blast away a high percentage of their wages or other means of income down at the local pub or their preferred nightclub have had their habits curtailed and changed by the law of the land. And what self-control and wisdom may have failed to do, God has enforced by using an unseen plague, or at least the fear of it. I've recently heard of people who were fortunate enough to keep their jobs and now saying how much money they've been able to save by not being able to go out, not needing to put fuel in their car, or to buy things without carefully thinking and considering whether they are totally necessary. It's even come to the point where my 14-year-old son has allowed me to cut his hair. And I'm not the only parent getting away with that these days. Saving anything from 7 to 12 quid a head. So everybody is saving. Many people are coping well. But others are suffering. And they are ill at ease. But don't forget, God allows the sun to shine on both the righteous and the unrighteous equally. Some will openly praise God for the fine weather we're having, and others will not. Some will thank God every day for keeping them safe, for feeding them, or just being there for them as a guide, as a friend. Never mind a king and a saviour. God is central to their lives. And others, well, they might be focusing on other things. Personally, our family income has dropped dramatically. Yet, along with that, we also have saved lots of money by having to cancel holidays, postpone birthday treats, reduced diesel consumption, etc., etc. The weather has made up for it magnificently, hasn't it? Who needs to go abroad for warmth and sunshine these days? And the traffic. Who enjoyed the peace and quiet on the local roads recently before it changed back again? The clear skies, the beautiful spring weather. Surely we haven't missed out on much. I haven't actually missed much at all, because most of the things I really appreciate in life as a Christian are free. They come from my God the Father regularly and reliably as gifts from his hand. But if you don't perceive them as gifts, if you can't appreciate them as gifts, then you might not be able to enjoy them in the same way as someone who does see them and receive them in that way. So what are the desires of your heart? What are you longing for? What are they? What are these things that you're desiring and longing for? I heard something that made me smile yesterday. Someone we all know, someone mentioned on the CBC Fellowship WhatsApp group that a local fish and chip shop was opening after the lockdown, and he was looking forward to what is clearly the best jumbo cod in the area. What makes it the best jumbo cod? If you ask the guy who testified that it is better than every other shop everywhere else, if he's convinced, then he's sure to tell you why, because that is what he believes. He can give testimony because he believes that is the truth. Now, Jesus made a fish meal for his disciples. Do you remember? Some of the things we desire must be important if Jesus gets involved. In John 21, verse 9, we read this. It's about the disciples on the third day after the resurrection. When they landed, the disciples landed on the boat, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153 of them. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dare ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Jesus had already got some fish and bread and was cooking before the disciples arrived. But Jesus invited them to add their contribution to the barbecue, so to speak, and join him in fellowship over a simple yet very special meal. And who do you think was at the center of this fellowship meal? What made it special? Was it the bread? Was it the fish? Might not have been jumbo cod. Was it the fire, the barbecue, the disciples, the weather, or Jesus? What do you think the disciples remembered most about this occasion? What made it special for them? As hungry as they might have been after fishing all night, it was Jesus who made the difference. He was more desirable than being able to catch 153 fish after having spent all night catching nothing. There was more satisfaction in being back in the company of Jesus after he'd been taken away from them. He was, after all, their heart's desire. In Psalm 37, verses 3 to 4, we read this. "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Jesus will give you himself if you make him the desire of your heart. Not just one of many desires of your heart, but the desire of your heart. If Jesus gives himself to you, and you give yourself fully to Jesus, then you get more than you bargained for. And everything you need for successful living in this world, and this is particularly relevant in these otherwise uncertain times we're living in, This is what you get in Matthew 6, 27 to 34. For those who are anxious, those who are concerned, those who are worried about what is going on in the world, Jesus says, "Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' Or 'What shall we drink?' Or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well." Of all the things you and I have been denied and deprived of during this COVID-19 pandemic, Jesus is not one of them. And most of the things that are good for us remain reachable and within our grasp. With Jesus, there is no need to keep your distance. There is no 2-meter exclusion zone. There is no social distancing rules applicable. And you won't catch anything nasty from him. He invites us to not only have fellowship with him, but to draw as close to him as we want to. That intimacy is something that will do us good. It will not threaten us, and it will bless us. And as we look back to Acts 2 and all the disciples were together in one place praising God, we may be separated as a fellowship using technology to bring us together, but if we are one in spirit, we are his church. We are the same as those disciples. We are the future of his church. And all we need is more and more of his Holy Spirit. So let's pray for that now. In Jesus' name. Father, we pray that you will come once more with your Holy Spirit. That you will come upon us with power and deliverance, Lord, and lead us forward into these end times, that we might be as effective as your first ever disciples, that we might be longing, Lord, for your coming, and keen, Lord, to testify to how good you are to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.